Evening, everybody. Thanks very much for coming. Really good to see you. I hope you're enjoying the music, coffee, etc. As Tim said, the title for this evening is Jesus on Parties. Now, I don't know what you're expecting from that. It might depend what you think of when you think of parties. Some of you might be thinking political parties, and you've come tonight to see how Jesus thinks you should vote. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but that's not the sort of parties we'll be talking about. No, the parties we're talking about are celebrations. And again, they come in various shapes and sizes, depending on whether it's a kid's birthday party or a student night out or a civilised grown-up dinner party or, you know, a big one like a wedding reception. But the thing all those parties have in common is that they're all about pleasure. They're all about having a good time. And what you think Jesus thinks about pleasure probably depends on what you think about Jesus. So maybe you've got the impression that Jesus, perhaps like some of his followers, is essentially quite a serious guy who doesn't really want you to have too much fun, and therefore he's going to be a bit down on parties. You see, there's this idea in our culture, and it's quite a common one, I think, that the pursuit of pleasure is basically incompatible with the pursuit of God. That you can't have a good time and a God time at the same time. That to be a Christian, well, it means you've got to be tucked up in bed by 10 o'clock. It means keeping the music at a reasonable volume. And it means never setting foot on the dance floor under any circumstances. Unless it's a barn dance, which for some reason seems to be an exception. Look, I'm obviously exaggerating, but you know what I mean, right? And I want to say from the outset that that idea is wrong. The pursuit of pleasure is not incompatible with the pursuit of God. Jesus is not down on parties. See, the Bible paints a picture of Jesus as a guy who likes a good time as much as the next person. Not to excess, not to the harm of others, not to the exclusion of other priorities. But this is the guy who turned water into wine when the wine ran out at a wedding. This is the guy who, though the accusation was false, attended enough parties with disreputable people that he was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. And I just want to talk for a few minutes about a particular incident that happened when Jesus was at a dinner party with a group of important religious leaders. It's in chapter 14 of Luke's Gospel, his eyewitness account of Jesus' life. You see, Jesus is at this party with these important people, and he makes a very perceptive observation about parties. Let me tell you the story, listen in. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. Parable's just a story that's got a kind of a hidden meaning, a twist at the end. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, take the least important place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, what Jesus has observed there is that parties are not just about pleasure. They're also often about pride. And even if you reject the Christian claim that Jesus is God, you've got to admit that's a pretty perceptive point, even just at a human level. Because it feels good, doesn't it, when you get invited to a party. It makes you feel kind of important to be on the guest list. And then if you don't get invited, well, you feel snubbed. Your pride is offended. And then when you go, well, you make sure you're looking your best. You dress to impress. You have a shave. You put on some makeup. Hopefully you don't need to do both of those things. And when you're there, will you make an effort to bring your best conversation, your best banter, your best moves? You want people at the party to think well of you. You want the host to be glad that he or she invited you. And that's exactly what's going on in Jesus' little story. People are coming to this party and they're taking the places of honour, the best seats, because they want others to think well of them, to look up to them. It's kind of like waltzing up to a wedding reception, walking straight past the seating plan and just taking a seat at the top table on the assumption that that's where you belong. And so what Jesus says is, well, it's good advice at a practical level, isn't it? And if you do that, well, you just set yourself up for a fall. Wouldn't it be much better to take a low-profile seat at the back and then be sort of bumped up into a more important position? But at this particular party with these important people, what Jesus says isn't so much practical advice as it is a personal warning. Jesus ends his story with a stinging one-liner. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. And the others at the party know that by this point, Jesus isn't just talking about ordinary parties anymore. He's talking about something bigger. He's talking about the party with a capital P, heaven, the feast of the kingdom of God. It's a tense moment, and maybe it's to diffuse the tension that one of the guests speaks up. Let me pick up the story again as Luke tells it. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat the feast in the kingdom of God." Basically, what that guy says is, it's good to be in heaven. And you'd think that's about as uncontroversial a statement as you can get, particularly as far as Jesus is concerned. But Jesus is on a roll. He wants to teach them and us something else about parties and about pride. So he tells another story. Listen in again. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" See, here's the point of the story. Whereas pride might be a bit inappropriate at a human party, pride will actually keep you out of God's party altogether. The host in Jesus' story represents God, and he invites people to the banquet to end all banquets. But they make excuses. And while their excuses might seem reasonable to us, buying a field or some oxen, getting married, at the end of the day, they're selfish. Each one of those excuses is full of I. Each person is saying, my interests are more important. I'm putting me ahead of you. In a word, pride. And what's the result of that pride? Listen to that stinging one-liner again. "I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Instead, the people who get to go to the party are the humble, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the ones who know they don't deserve to be there, who don't come with a sense of entitlement, who don't presume upon their relationship with the host and think it won't matter if they snub him on this occasion, they'll get invited in future. You see, heaven, the ultimate party, the ultimate pleasure, is a party for the humble. And that means, and I think this is really interesting, that the pursuit of ultimate pleasure is not incompatible with the pursuit of God at all. The pursuit of ultimate pleasure is incompatible with the pursuit of self. That's what Jesus means. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, this party, this banquet, this perfect eternity with God himself is not something you want to miss out on. And the incredible thing is that we're all invited. You have before you tonight the most important, the most precious, the most exclusive party invitation there is. And down at the bottom, in the right-hand corner, there are those four little letters, RSVP. How do you RSVP to this party? How do you accept the invitation? Will you humble yourself? You say to Jesus, I don't deserve to be there. I don't deserve to be on the guest list. I can't pay the entry fee. I can't meet the dress code. I've done too much wrong. I've tried to live life my own way without you. But more than anything else, I want to be in heaven with you. Please let me in. And here's the really incredible thing, and this is where I want to finish. As you're probably aware, Easter is coming up, and I love Easter. It's just the best time of the year. Because at Easter, we remember that Jesus died and he rose again. What has that got to do with parties? Well, only this. In his death, Jesus took the punishment for all our pride and sin and rebellion, the stuff that means we don't deserve the party invite. And then in his resurrection, Jesus threw open not only his tomb, but the very gates of heaven itself. Easter Sunday is Jesus saying, if I can borrow a phrase, let's get this party started. This is the only party that lasts forever. It's the only party where the food never runs out. And it's the only party you'll ever be invited to where your entry cost the host his life. Heaven is a party for the humble, and we're all invited. And the question I suppose I want to leave you to ponder is this. Will you humble yourself to accept? Thanks very much.